Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I want to invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. This morning, I want to specifically look at verses 6 through 10. And I want to begin with a little background on the writing of this letter and the people of Galatia. The heading of the book says, "The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians." And at the end of verse 2, he said, "Unto the churches of Galatia." Galatia was a region that had different churches in it. I'm in the state of Tennessee. It would be like saying, "Unto the churches of Tennessee." A larger region that had a few different assemblies in it. And Paul traveled through Galatia and he preached the gospel. And God called out some believers and they started assembling together. But Paul was not a pastor. He was more of a missionary. And he constantly moved on. He would preach the gospel in a certain location for a given period of time, and then God would move him somewhere else. And those assemblies that formed through his ministry, God would eventually provide them with a pastor. Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. Titus was the pastor in Crete. The point is, other men would come in. Paul didn't stay with, and he did not pastor each group that God converted under his ministry. Other men would come in. And in Galatia, the wrong men came in. And they started mixing works with grace. They started mixing the message of works with the message of grace. Now, there is a work involved in grace, but God is the doer of it. All of the works are the works of God alone. And when God works, it is evidenced. It is. The work of God in a sinner is evidenced. Sinners do respond. When God says believe, they believe. When he says come, they come. When he says bow and repent, they bow and they repent. Works are performed. And works are evidenced in a sinner and through a sinner. But salvation is not by man's works. Sinners are not saved through their own works. Look with me at Galatians 2, verse 21. The apostle said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." If righteousness comes by our obedience to this law, then Christ died in vain. There is one salvation. There is one way of salvation. There is only one message of salvation. But these false prophets came in and they started preaching to these people, and their message was that the effect that God produces in a sinner, the effect of salvation, the evidence of God's work, they were preaching that it was actually the cause, not the evidence, but the cause. not the evidence of salvation, but the cause of salvation. They started preaching that the commandments and the ceremonies and the ordinances, they were still a necessary part of salvation. And Paul told them what that produces. When a man comes in and preaches that, he told them what it produces. In chapter 2, verse 4, he said, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." They came in and started preaching contrary to the liberty that we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. They preached that salvation was partly through faith and partly through their own works. And when some of these Galatians said, "That's not what Paul taught us," these false prophets said, "Paul is not a real apostle. He does not speak on the authority of God. An apostle had to witness his resurrection. An apostle had to hear the gospel from the mouth of Christ himself. He was not even around during the time of the Lord. The Lord had already ascended by the time Paul came along. Don't listen to Paul." That's what they were telling him. Don't listen to Paul. So some of the Galatians heard that Paul was in prison in Rome, and they went to see him. And they asked him about these things. And Paul answered them and all the churches of Galatia with this letter. And this is what he had to say. Verse 1 says, "Paul, an apostle." An apostle. "Not by man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, they're in a bad state right now. They are confused. They have what some would call backslidden, erred from the truth. But he said to them, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." What he's telling them is, you didn't do anything to get yourselves into Christ, and you can't do anything to get yourselves out. Isn't that wonderful news? "Grace be to you and peace." If God put you in Christ, you're going to stay there. If God did it, it's forever. Verse 4, he said, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And now he says in verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from this absolutely free grace." The free grace of Christ. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," which he said in verse 7, there's not another one. There is not another gospel. He said, "I'm shocked that after hearing how free grace truly is, and after hearing how effectual the work of Christ truly was, how accomplishing it truly was, how finished it truly is," he said, "I'm shocked that you would go back to believing that something still must be done on man's part." Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said in verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear with him. You might well bear with him. There are a lot of false prophets out there preaching another Jesus. There are a lot of congregations out there holding on to another gospel. And Paul said back in Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's not another. They're preaching another Jesus, but there's not another Jesus. They're preaching another gospel, but there's not another gospel. The gospel is the truth about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and there's only one truth. There's only one truth about who he is and what he has done. Verse 7, he said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word pervert means turn around, turn across. What he's saying is they're getting it mixed up. They're putting the cart before the horse. They're making the effect the cause. They're making the effect of God's word, God's work, the cause. Back in Romans 11, if you turn with me back to Romans chapter 11, verse 5 says, even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Well, which one is it? Again, verse 5 said, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Grace. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He was cut off for his people. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Christ. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's clear, isn't it? We are complete in Him. Everything that was against us, Christ nailed it to His cross. And we're forgiven. And salvation is complete. Back in Galatians 1, verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Meaning, this word of God right here, Paul said, we have been made apostles by God. And the word that we have preached and written, we received it directly from God. This word is the only gospel that there is. This word that has been written by the Spirit of God Almighty is the only truth about Christ that there is. And he said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be cursed. That's strong language, isn't it? If the message he's preaching is not the true message of Scripture, if it is not the God-given message of forgiveness of sin in the blood of Christ alone, if that's not his message, God said, let him be cursed. Let him be cursed. Paul told Timothy, when you get to Ephesus, you preach the word. That was his commandment to Timothy. Preach the word. In season, out of season. Get in the Word and stay in it. Stay in it. If any man comes in with his own agenda, trying to make his own disciples, you know how they do. They come in and read one verse. They'll go find one verse that opens the door for them to rant, give their own opinions, preach their own traditions. Verse 8 says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. Nobody is going to be saved under him. Nobody is going to be profited by him. Everybody will just end up cursed. If the one preaching it will be cursed, then the one hearing it will be cursed. If the one preaching it, if that's what he believes, and whatever men preach, that's what they believe. In the same way, the one hearing it, if that's what he believes, if they believe the same thing, the hearer is going to be cursed too. How serious is Paul about this? How serious is he about this? Look at verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Am I persuading the things of men or the things of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If my aim is to please men, I'll never please God. If God opens a sinner's eyes to His truth, if God puts faith in his heart, He will be so pleased by the message of God's servant that gives all the honor and glory to Christ. But if my aim is to just please men at any expense, I'll never please God. If I'm the servant of man, I cannot be the servant of Christ. God's ways are not man's ways. But if our aim and our goal is to be true to the Word of God, if He has caused that to be the burning foundation of our message, if our message is the one and only gospel that He Himself has declared, then we are the servants of Christ. We are, and there's no condemnation in Him. And we hold the one and only gospel that saves. Now, let me ask this question. What does another gospel sound like? What does another gospel sound like? If we need to guard against it, if our eternal souls depend on our not believing it and not falling in with it, what does another gospel sound like? How will I know if I'm listening to another gospel? How will I know it when I hear it? The answer is, you are hearing another gospel when you hear something that is contrary to this word. Contrary to this word. If you hear a man stand up and preach something and then you open up God's word and it says the exact opposite of what that man said, don't be fooled by him trying to tell you that God's word does not say exactly what it means. God has said what God means in God's word. And if God's word is contrary to what I'm hearing, don't listen to that man anymore. He's preaching another gospel. Have you ever heard a preacher say from a pulpit, won't you give your heart to Jesus? Won't you give your life to Him? Won't you give yourself to Him? Look with me at verse 4. It's talking about Christ. It says, who gave Himself. Christ gave Himself. Nowhere does our God ask us to give ourselves. Christ took us. God grabbed us and put us in Christ. He's not waiting on us to give ourselves. Christ is the one who gave Himself. The man who stands up and says that is preaching another gospel, not the one that was delivered from God to His apostles. Have you ever heard a man say from a pulpit, now He wants to save you. He's standing and waiting. He's done all that He can do. He has no hands but your hands. You ever heard a man say that? Look with me at verse 4. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us. That does not say try to deliver us. That does not say hope to deliver us. It sure doesn't say beg to deliver us. It says deliver us. The man who says that is preaching another Jesus. That is not Jesus the Christ. Do you know what Jesus the Christ said? He said, it is finished. Father, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Don't listen to that man who preaches that other Jesus. He's a cursed man. Have you ever heard a man say from the pulpit, God wants you to have all the good of this world. God wants to bless you with this world. He wants you to be happy in this world. He wants you to grab this world by the tail and take what's rightfully yours. You ever heard that? Verse 4 says, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world." Most of the TV evangelists today are preaching another gospel. Another gospel. When I was a young child, I heard a man stand up in a pulpit. It was not the church he pastored. He was invited to go there. And he stood up and preached the gospel. And then the pastor who invited the man to come, after the man sat down, the pastor stood up in the pulpit and he said, "Now the gospel has been preached. Now it's up to you. This thing is on you. What are you going to do?" Look at verse 4 with me. "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." You know what the one and only gospel says? It's not on you. This thing is not up to you. Every bit of it was according to the will of God Almighty. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ and what he has already finished. The gospel, the only true gospel, is all about Jesus Christ and what he has already finished. The one and only true gospel is all about the accomplishment of a person. The accomplishment of a person. Salvation, the gospel, the good news of salvation is not, it isn't finished yet. There's still something for you to do. There's no good news in that. The only gospel there is the gospel of a finished work. That's the only good news there is. That's the only good news that gives a helpless, hopeless, defiled, filthy, dead sinner any hope. Christ did something, and it was successful. The gospels are all about a person. All about the God-man, Jesus Christ. May God cause us to be servants of Christ. Servants of Christ. Not servants of men, not servants of ourselves, not servants of the flesh. Not giving praise to this flesh. God's waiting on me to do something and I'm about to do it for him. No, no, no. God did something. And it's forever settled in heaven. May he forever allow us to preach and believe the one and only gospel there is, the gospel of the grace of Christ, the free gift through the blood of Jesus Christ. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.